Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nine Leaders Podcast. My name is Wade Shaw, and today we are looking at sevens on teams. Enneagram 7, the enthusiast, the epicure, we covered in depth a couple episodes ago. And then last week, we talked about what they look like as leaders. And today we are going to discuss the benefits and pitfalls of having somebody who identifies as a type 7 on their team. Now, the energy and the enthusiasm that sevens bring to their work can make them valuable and beloved team members, but their fear of commitment and flaky nature can make it hard to keep them. So we're going to look at this type and how you might keep them around. But before we do that, just a quick reminder that we like to do a Q&A on each type. So if you have questions about type 7, something that I didn't discuss, you'd like for me to discuss, send that either in through our Instagram page, through our Facebook page, or send it to wadeshawcoaching@gmail.com, and we will answer that question. You can also send questions about other types or just the Enneagram in general. I'm hoping to do a general Q&A after we finish going through all nine types. So we'll need some questions for that. If we don't get any questions, we won't do a Q&A episode, and that will be just fine. But if you're curious about something, drop it in those places. Also, if you have enjoyed this podcast and you get some sort of value out of it, we haven't set up a Patreon or anything like that, but you can support us directly through the Anchor app. So jump on there, throw us a couple dollars if this has added value to your life. And then lastly, if this has added value to your life and you'd like to dig deeper, you'd like to figure out how this could affect you personally, I do one-on-one coaching, I do one-on-one spiritual direction, I do one-on-one leadership coaching. So if that's something you are interested in, again, shoot me an email at wadeshawcoaching@gmail.com. Really, if you need anything, email me there. If you want me to come speak at something, I'm happy to do that as well. Shoot me an email. All right, let's get back on track to sevens on teams. So sevens are process-oriented. They love the anticipation of reaching a goal far more than actually achieving it. We've talked about that before. The anticipation of going on vacation is more exciting than the vacation itself. Now, when I say process-oriented in the context of a work environment, I don't mean repetitive and boring. Sevens are not going to thrive in a position where they must do monotonous work all the time. What I mean by process-oriented is that sevens need to know what the goal is and how their work is contributing to it. They need to know that what they are doing is part of the process. They need to see that what they're doing is moving the team closer towards its goals or moving them closer to their own personal goals and ambitions. Giving them a set course can be helpful as long as they understand that the contribution they are making is to a greater good. This can help to keep them focused and avoid the disorganization and scattered mind that sevens are often prone to have. So this is a bit of a subtle difference between, like, here's a to-do list, here's what the process is, I need you to get all this stuff done. It's much more, they need a vision cast for them and understand what their role in the process is so that as they're doing the work, they have something to look forward to. They have some sort of anticipation of when we achieve the goal. If they're just doing mindless, monotonous, repetitive work, they're not going to be terribly happy in that environment. Be careful not to micromanage sevens. Giving them tasks and processes is helpful, but an overbearing leader who criticizes their work more often than encouraging their work will push them away. Sevens don't like negativity, and constantly being corrected or told that what they're doing is wrong is either going to push them to leave your team or push them into an unhealthy, self-critical one space. Now, this isn't to say that you should never correct a seven on your team. That would be absurd. But you should approach these corrections quickly and with a sense of positivity. That positivity and encouragement is going to help them find excitement and joy in their work, which will make them more productive and help them stick around longer. I mentioned during the overview that if you don't correct them quickly, there's a chance that they're not even going to remember what you're talking about. They're moving so quickly from thing to thing to thing that if you wait 2-3 weeks to confront them about something, they're not likely to remember it. That's not an insult on their intelligence. It's just that they are moving at a much faster pace than a lot of the rest of us are moving. So when you notice something that needs correction, jump on it, do it quickly, but also maintain that level of positivity that's going to keep them happy and engaged. Through your positive feedback and encouraging feedback, sevens will begin to focus and look at the bigger picture, which will lead them into their healthy space of five. Healthy sevens moving towards five are good planners and dreamers. So get them involved in the brainstorming sessions and let them dream big. So if you have a team that needs to plan stuff and be creative and set goals, this is a great place to invite sevens into. But if you invite them into that planning, remember that they're going to think big picture. They're going to think all these wild, ridiculous ideas, and you need to let them do that. Let them think big and pitch their crazy ideas. You can always get rid of those ideas once you start weeding out ideas and deciding on a plan of action, but in the initial planning, let them be as big and audacious as possible. That's often part of the creative process for them. Once they've thought big, they'll move into a more realistic thinking, and they may surprise you in demonstrating that a plan that you would have considered too big is actually attainable. If you aren't going to allow a 7 to dream and think big, then it's best not to include them in the planning process. They'll be very unhappy when they are shut down. So this can be really hard for those of us, myself included, who want everything to be realistic. Like in the brainstorming, we go straight to, is that attainable? Is that doable? Can we actually make that happen? Sevens are going to naturally think about those things significantly later than the rest of us. So in that initial ideas meeting, in that initial ideas conversation, don't go there too quickly. Obviously, eventually you have to go there. If an idea is just simply undoable, it's undoable. But let them play in the space of these undoable ideas, because eventually they'll kind of navigate and find their way to an idea that is actually doable. And allow yourself to be a little bit more open-handed and trust that maybe this really audacious big idea could actually work. And unless this person has a track record of failing or setting goals that they do not attain, maybe take the risk and let them try something that is bigger than you would have thought. So as we've seen, sevens can be really good at that planning end of things, but they're not so great at follow through. Be sure to include a process by which the goal will be reached to help a seven see what their part is in it and what is expected of them. So action items after that meeting, let them know this is what we need you to do. This is what I need you to do in order to get to the end of this project. And then check in on the project every once in a while and help the seven get back in touch with the excitement that they started out with. Now, to make this not seem like micromanagement, you need to watch for if your seven seems to have lost steam or passion about the project, and then to remind them of the passion that they initially had. You're not going in and telling them how to do it or giving them details on the what, but helping them reconnect to their why, helping them reconnect to the energy that they had when they started. Similar to eights, sevens need to have their energy matched. And unlike eights, they don't need you to match the energy they're currently showing, but the energy that they showed when the idea or project was first dreamed up. That will remind them of the excitement about the project and may result in a second win. So you see your seven kind of floundering, see your seven kind of losing passion about an idea, see your seven kind of slacking off. Remember the excitement that they had when they came up with the idea and try to mirror that excitement to them so they'll remember how excited they were and then they get that second wind. Sevens will thrive on a relational team. Putting them in positions where they get to work with people will keep them much happier than if they're working alone. They'll enjoy working on team projects to achieve goals. And if a position like that isn't available to them on your team, try to create opportunities for sevens to connect with fellow team members, with customers, with clients. They don't work well in isolation, so try to find ways to connect them to the people that they are working with and working for. I worked with a seven, and occasionally I would invite him to grab lunch, and he would always say yes. He never said no to lunch, even when he had a lot more on his plate and didn't have time. He would always say yes, which maybe I should have been more careful with when I invited him. But he would always say yes. But he would also invite everybody else that he saw in the building before we got to the car. So by the time we made it from his office to the front door, our one-on-one lunch would often become a staff lunch. 8-9 people going to grab burritos instead of just he and I. And this helped build camaraderie. No one was forced to go. It was not a requirement, but it always ended up happening. So allowing for this kind of team building, fun, and relational excitement to go on will create a much more pleasant environment for a seven. Now, I understand the certain minutiae of your team, the certain needs and requirements of your team aren't going to allow an all-staff lunch every single day or anything like that. I understand that, but you get the idea. Trying to find ways to build relational equity with your seven or allow them to build it with their team, you're going to benefit greatly from allowing them to do that. Now, the downside of this story, of course, was when I needed to have a one-on-one conversation with my coworker. I learned very quickly that if I needed that, I had to communicate upfront and early while maintaining that positive atmosphere, and then he and I could go get burritos by ourselves. But you could see like the pain on his face as we passed people that he wanted to invite, but realized that was not the time or place to do that. Something that he eventually grew in and became much better at that. But they enjoy that relational aspect of work. Seven in conflicts are going to appear really similar to a three or to a nine. Threes are asleep to their shame, nines are asleep to their anger, sevens are asleep to their fear. So they all kind of approach conflict in a similar way. None of them want to engage in it. But again, it comes down to motivation. Threes don't want to cause conflict because it might look bad. Nines don't want conflict because they don't want to disrupt the peace. And sevens don't want conflict because they have this aversion to things that aren't fun and positive and exciting. Often sevens will take a detached, humorous approach to conflict. And this can give the impression that they aren't taking things seriously or that they don't care about the conversation. When pushed, sevens can become explosive, but much more likely they'll simply disappear. If you're creating a very conflicting environment or an environment where there's a lot of tension and conflict, your sevens are probably going to just eventually disappear. And they'll move on to a better, happier place. So some simple strategies for keeping your seven performing well. This is kind of the quick wrap up. Number one, let them dream. Don't be too quick to dismiss them as unrealistic. Number two, allow them to be relational. Consider putting them on a team instead of working alone. Three, keep things positive and light, even in conflict. Adopt strategies that keep things light while still communicating what needs to be communicated. And four, and final, help them remember their excitement. When things become routine and boring, find ways to help sevens remember the excitement that they had in the beginning. Sevens have the potential to be really great team members. They can unite a team, bring a level of joy to the workplace that can help the rest of your team feel happier and fulfilled. Sevens are hard to keep around, but if you are aware of their needs and desires, you can have a loyal and energetic team member. If you aren't sure how to do this with a seven on your team, I might be able to help. I offer personal and leadership coaching using the Enneagram as a tool. If you're interested, please email me at wadeshawcoaching@gmail.com and we will get something set up. That's also true if you just want one-on-one coaching using the Enneagram, or if you want spiritual direction, or if you just want a life coach to kind of help you set goals and achieve those goals. I'm always here for you. Shoot me an email and we will make that happen. Thank you guys so much for listening. I know that we took a really long hiatus. I'm excited to be back in pocket here, and it means a lot that some of you have stuck around and that some new folks have come, so welcome. I really appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting what we're doing here. And we will be back, I believe, on Friday with sevens and their relationship to other folks in the fear triad. So other sevens, fives, and sixes. And I'm looking forward to being here with you guys for that. We'll see you next time.